some work, always work with me. Now what she sell you can't buy in a store. It's a privatized business, can't tell you no more, Rosalie. Ooh, Rosalie. People, she got something working that always work with me.
Now you go outside. Hi, this is Carl Weinstein for the Daily Music Break. Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. We cover all music, regardless of era or genre. Please stop by and listen to some great music and sign up for some free email newsletters. We're thrilled to, again, have the opportunity to speak to Doug McLeod. Doug is a tremendous singer, songwriter, and blues player who we initially spoke to in December of 2014, so about, six or seven months ago. So we're thrilled to be able to catch up with him. How are you doing, Doug?
Carl, I'm fine. It's good to speak with you, too, and thank you for having me back on the show. I appreciate it.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Doug, to start with, please tell the folks where they can find your music once they, you know, they'll get a little snippet of it and a video in the presentation here. But if they want to hear more and maybe buy some, please tell them where to go.
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.doug-mcleod.com. They'll see a tab on there called Music Store. Mm-hmm. And all of the recorded stuff is there, the downloads and the actual CDs and albums, vinyl, that's mm-hmm. all there. And, of course, they can go to Amazon, eMusic, or iTunes. As long as you spell my name right, which is M-A-C-L-E-O-D, you'll find me, and they'll be able to find the music.
Okay, so it's M-C-C?
No, it's M-A-C.
Okay.
Capital L-E-O-D.
Okay, great. Thanks. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Don't worry. I've been called, you know, when years ago when the creditor called me, he would say, Mr. McLeod. I say, who? He said, Mr. McLeod. I say, nobody hear about that name. So I'm very much used to it.
Or you would just send him to Dennis Weaver because he was McLeod, right?
Exactly. And the only difference, you know, we spell the name differently, and I don't have a horse, so, you know, that's the end of that. So,
Doug, as we did the first time around, if you can describe a little bit about your music, what you're all about, that would be, great jumping off point to the conversation.
Well, thanks. My music was influenced many years ago by an old one-eyed blues singer out of what I call Tuano, Virginia, because that's what he called it. But the people in Virginia, they call it Tuano. It's between Norfolk and Richmond. And I met him when I was in my 20s. And I was in the Navy, had shore duty. So that meant had like a regular gig. I fixed radars during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then the night I played music, and I got to meet this fella. And he gave me two bits of advice that have stayed with me my whole life. He said, if you're going to be a blues man, never play a note you don't believe, and never write or sing about what you don't know about. So what he instilled in me was to be honest about my music. And that's what I try to do. I mean, you know, you're going to make mistakes playing or something or everything. But the main goal I always have every time I play is to keep those ideas in mind. And the other thing he taught me was if you're going to be a blues man, you got to write, sing, play, and entertain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try and do.
It's interesting. It's like I listened to the initial, you know, the first conversation we have, and I have a question to ask you, but I'm going to circle back to it because it's going to be, I think, kind of set up by you've been touring a lot. Is that in the intervening time in the last 6 months, you've been out and about. Is that correct?
Oh yeah.
Where have you been playing?
I'm sorry, Carl.
Where have you been playing?
Well, let me see. We started out in April. We did the Merle Fest. Roy Bookbinder, he does a great job of that. And did that, and then did the Fur Peace Ranch.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. How's that was
your,
fun.
With your armor.
Yeah, with your armor, right. Teaching there and playing. And then after that, it was an extensive tour of England. Then during the English tour, they flew me over a day to go over to Krakow, Poland to do a festival there.
Wow.
And what a great experience that was, Carl. I got to see the old city, Krakow,
mm-hmm.
and the people. I got to tell you something. I did this acoustic blues festival, and 95% of the audience was 35 years or younger, 35 years old or younger.
Wow.
And all these kids, I call them kids, because I'm almost double that, so I call them kids, but they were so knowledgeable about the music. They were so knowledgeable about, like, the guys that had gone on in the 30s and the 20s. They knew about these people, So that was a great, great experience. And then I've done the Midwest, Chicago, went back to the WC Handy Fest. There's just so much going on. I can't remember them all, but I've been pretty busy. Got a second here to talk with you, and then a couple of days I head up the coast to do Northern California and Oregon and Washington.
Beautiful. So here's my question. I always wondered about this. What you said at the beginning is that gentleman gave you the advice to play what you know and mm-hmm. not play anything false, which is great life advice, as in addition to music. Once you become a professional musician, especially one of renown, your life changes pretty drastically. You're living out of a suitcase. You're living in hotels. And it's a very, very different life, I would imagine, than life you have when you're younger, when you're a kid, before you become famous. Is there a transition in continuing to be able to write music and write lyrics, because kind of the nature of your experiences, I would imagine, kind of pretty drastically changes? You know what I mean? Is it a big shift once that happens?
Wow, Carl, no one's ever asked me that question, and that's a heck of a question, to tell you the truth.
But if you could explain it to me, because I kind of lost the thread there about halfway, if you could explain what I asked, I'd appreciate it.
I was going to ask you. Well, I think if I understand.
When I talk to you, it reminds me of all these stories. There was a movie that Humphrey Bogart made based on a book by the guy who wrote The Thin Man, Dashiell Hammett, and it was so complicated, one of these detective things, it was so complicated that no one could figure out who committed one of the murders in the plot. No one knew. So they figured,
I'm sorry?
What the hell? No one will notice. So anyway, I just had to stick that in. What changes as you become... as your life changes and try to get serious? I'm trying to get serious. I love talking to you so much. It's easy just to crack.
Go ahead.
What happens as your life changes in terms of your songwriting?
I see what you're saying. What changes? Maybe you get a little more wisdom when you get older.
Right.
I think there's a little bit more forgiveness that mm-hmm. goes on, because, the older you get, the more you realize, like I said in a rap, there's a rap I sang for one of some songs that about love. And I said, when you think about it, we're all looking for love, right? And that's what everybody wants. And yet we can hurt each other so badly looking for love, trying to get love. We can do horrible things to each other,
right,
just about love. And it's only if that's why there's so many songs that are wrote about that, because we're in a process of learning how to live, how to grow up together, how to get an understanding, I think, of life. And I think as a songwriter, on that kind of viewpoint, I look at it, maybe there's a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more understanding now that goes into my songs that are about that. And the other thing is, a guy told me over in Europe, he said, Doug, he says, this is really something, man. You must have blues all the time. Here you are in your 60s, and you live in the blues. And I said, wait a minute, I got to correct you. I said, I don't live them too much now. I just remember them. That's what I write from.
Does it change? But since you're on the road so much, I mean, is it you have the actual experiences you have change because you're getting to be, you're older than you were, but also, you're on the road so much, you're not home mm-hmm. as much. Is that a
right.
big, does that change things a lot too?
No, well, I don't know. I love traveling. I'm very old school like that, Carl. Mm-hmm. I'm one guitar, one suitcase, hop in the car, go. If I'm flying, it's one guitar, one suitcase, go.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the old guys, just
right.
that's how I do it. And I still love it. It's cool now that I got, the satellite radio. I'm a big baseball fan, so I can listen to baseball games while I'm driving. I can, listen to music.
Right.
It's nice,
Right. Right. It's a little cushier than it was when people were jumping on freight trains and everything.
Oh, yeah. There was a fellow, I think he was in Kansas City. He said to me, Doug, he said, you just like the old blues guys. I said, well, hold on now. I said, the big difference is that's a Honda Accord out there waiting for me.
Now, you said when you went over to Poland that 90% of the audience were, folks under 35 and under,
yeah.
More mm-hmm. or less. How does that differ from the shows that you play here in the States on the whole?
Well, a lot of the people that I play for are, over 40 years old.
Right.
Some in their 60s, because they came up, during that folk boom.
Right.
Here in the U.S. back in the 60s, right? They had that big folk music boom, and they found some of the old country blues artists, and a lot of us got hooked up in that.
Right.
But I am starting to see young musicians come to my shows, and they're bringing their girlfriends, and they're bringing their friends. And I asked a few of them, I said, why are you here,
Right.
And they're there for the lyrics. And that it's real. I mean, real in the sense, there's no effects or anything. Like,
right.
When you come to see me, I just plug in if I have to and play and sing. So like I say, it goes exactly like this. And there's a realness to it. And I think some of the young people, at least the ones that I've been around, they kind of gravitate towards that. And maybe it's connected to that thing that's going on nowadays with the young singer-songwriters that are just playing a guitar, singing their songs, and that the lyrics are the most important thing.
So you're making a distinction between the lyrics and the guitar playing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a definite distinction. I mean, when you are singing a song,
right.
there's a story to a song.
Right.
A good song. There's a story to a song. There's a message to a song. So you want that to be the thing that's out in front, even though you're a solo musician. For you to override, be louder than the lyrics
mm-hmm.
of a song is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the guitar down second. Guitar is the backup instrument. Then when the guitar gets the chance to do the solo, the voice is not there, so the guitar solos.
Mm-hmm. Do you think,
understand what I mean with that?
Yeah, I understand. I'm wondering, do you share that approach? Do you think with a lot of other maybe folks from your generation? What I hear you saying is that the lyrics are the most important, and the guitar playing is not secondary in importance, but it's kind of the support of the lyrics. Is that if I have it right, is that common, or do some people see it the opposite, do you think?
Well, it's funny. I think if you're a singer-songwriter, it's common.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the most important thing is the song. Sometimes I know when I go hear bands, on a festival or a club, I can hear the band really well, but I can't hear the singer. I can't discern the lyrics of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is wrong.
Interesting. And I know you define yourself as a blues guy. How much, and we talked a little bit the first time we talked about the fact that it all comes, you know, country and blues really go back to the same root. It's like one of those things with the DNA, you know, mm-hmm. going back in the family tree. Do you see yourself as part country and mostly blues, all blues? How do you see yourself?
I'm an American musician. I'm an Americana. I know that's a word now that they don't, you know, use for a blues guy that happens to be a singer-songwriter, right? But two things, Carl. This music, blues, was founded upon singer-songwriters, guys like Blind Lemon Jefferson, Big Bill Brunzy, Blind Willie McTell, Robert Johnson, Son House,
right.
Tampa Red. These guys were all singer-songwriters.
Right.
And it's Americana. I mean, we're singing about America. You know, I come up in America. This music is my music is an influence of American country music, jazz, blues. I mean, the jazz. I do a workshop, and a guy will say to me, "Man, your right hand is not like some of the things you do with your right hand is not like what the old country blues guys did." He said, "Where did you get that groove?" And I go, "Jimmy McGriff." And he goes, "Who?" I said, "Jimmy McGriff, the organ player." He said, "Wow, I never heard of him." And I said, "Well, yeah." I said, you know, that's all American music. Jimmy McGriff, just because he plays jazz doesn't mean he's not Americana in my mind.
Right.
To me, that's American music too. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's almost like we had to invent these classifications, just not marketing in the negative sense, but you have to have a way to sort it out at the end of the day. And these things kind of took hold, I guess.
I guess so, Carl, you know, but I don't think, you know, the musicians I meet, musicians hear good music. They want to know what that's, you know, they want to know what's going on.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what label is on it. All that matters is that it sounds good.
Right.
And can I incorporate some of that in what I'm doing?
Right.
You know?
Right. It comes, I think we touched on this. It comes back to Jimmy Rogers playing with Louis Armstrong in like 1920 or whatever it was. I mean, you know.
Wow. That whole thing, you know, Lonnie Johnson, you know, guys that crossed the barriers that played different kinds of, you know, jazz and blues. And, you know, you can hear, I remember one time hearing Kenny Burrell, I believe it was a New Year's Eve or close to it.
Right.
And I was going through, I'd separated from my first wife, and I couldn't get a gig around that time, and Kenny Burrell was playing, and down at the old lighthouse. And there was a guy up in front that he had started drinking a little bit early to celebrate. He said, "I want to hear some blues." And Kenny Burrell's such a gentleman, he said, "Well, we will be playing some blues, but right now we're going to be playing this." And the guy was so drunk. He said, "I got to hear some blues." So I guess Kenny Burrell knew that if he didn't play blues, this guy'd be talking and, you know, going through the whole thing.
Right.
So he took, you know, he played that Super 400. And he took that toggle switch, put it down on the back pickup, and played T-Bone Walker to die. I mean, it was unbelievable, Carl. And that guy just, you know, bless his heart, he raised his hand. You know how the black people, you know, the ladies do in the church.
Right.
Raised his hand, waved his hand, and it was a wonderful night. And then what an idea I got about him. And then when I was doing the radio show here, I had a chance to talk with him for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yeah, T-Bone Walker was a big influence to him. So you see how it connects.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. And then the kid, you know, and then the younger generation came along in this, you know, I'm thinking as we're talking, even ever since we started talking, the danger talking to you is I'll start saying, you know, do you remember this one? Do you remember that one? And we'll never talk about you, which is not a great interview theory. You know, never talk about the person you're interviewing. It's not what they teach in school. But I at the website I did, I happened on to the Memphis Jug Band.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did two songs that ended up being early Grateful Dead songs,
mm-hmm.
which I knew from being a kid and being a big Grateful Dead songs song that the Memphis Jug Band called it Stealin'.
Yeah.
And which is great. And even though it has some language in it, you can't really use today. And the other one was Lindy, which was about Lindbergh. And the Grateful Dead did those in the 1960s. It's funny. And I learned about the Memphis Jug Band from a little video about Samuel Charters, the researcher, who just passed away, unfortunately. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah. I'll send you a link afterwards. There's a little featurette about him. They started a center of his music actually at the University of Connecticut. And they have all his stuff there, but there's a really nice little featurette. So anyway, it all kind of goes around and comes around, is I guess what we're saying, right?
I mean, you know, there's only 12 notes, you know, solid notes. You know, like if you bend or play slide, there's more notes, but, you know, and like I learned, there's only three kinds of chords. You got your tonic, your dominant, and your subdominant. That's it.
Right.
So, you know, music's going to come around. It's got to.
It's amazing how many sounds you can make with only that, right?
Well, yeah. And I think that it's because a human being is playing it.
Right.
See? A human being's playing it. So it's sort of like they give you a language. They give you words in a language. I'm looking for the word vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick the words that you want to use. And that's what makes you unique, using the same vocabulary that so many other people are using and have used in the past.
It's amazing. You know, it's funny. It's like the game of chess in a way. You know, my son played chess, and I could always beat him. And he played a very, very basic level, and he just figured out this piece can move here and that piece can move there. And then he got older and he started playing online. Now I can't beat him. The game of chess, you can play it at that basic level and you could play it with the unbelievable complexity of a grandmaster. And it's the same with music, right? You could play it simply, or you could play it with all, you know, an unending amount of complexity.
Exactly. I remember I was with Joe Pass, you know, the great jazz guitar player.
Uh-huh.
And we were playing, and he did Satin Doll, and I said, how about we, you know, do a little bit of this? And I was so intimidated being with him that I tried to play a lot of notes.
Right.
And he commented. He said, boy, you know, I didn't, you know, but what were you playing there? I said, well, you know, I'm kind of intimidated being around you. And he said, well, what's the stuff that you hear? And then I remember what Ernest Banks told me, never play a note you don't believe.
Right.
So I played this kind of like, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, oh, man, I like that. I said, you like that? He said, yeah, because it's real. And I said, well, you know, I forgot this lesson that I learned from this old blues guy in Toronto, Virginia. And we talked a little bit. And then he did something that amazed me. He said, play a D minor chord. And I did. Now, he sang something that was around an A flat or an E flat scale, singing it against, I said, wow. And he said, what do you think of that? And I said, with all due respect to you, I said, that sounds wrong to me. And he just laughed. He said, well, you see, I can hear that. I can hear it because I can sing it. And then he played this chord, and he played this, what we call in music, outside stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he sang it, Carl. Sang it. So that meant he heard it. So that meant from him it's honest. So here's this complex thing that's going on, right?
Right.
But it's coming from a guy that can actually sing it. So I get this education how you see so many guys that nowadays, they play so many scales.
Right.
And I always wonder, can they sing it?
Right.
And yeah, can you sing what you're playing? Yeah.
And you had the jazz guy validate what the blues guy had told you also, when you think about it.
You know, you'll find out, I tell you, in my travels, the real jazz musicians,
right?
They have a huge respect for blues.
Uh-huh.
Huge respect, yeah. The ones I've met, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Did Les Paul slow down as he, not mentally or anything, but did he slow down his playing as he got older? So I love Les Paul, but I find I like his later stuff much more because he didn't seem to play as much. He played the right notes, but it didn't seem, he wasn't at the beginning, it seemed like he was playing a lot, you know, it seemed like it was a lot, you know, busier or faster. At the end, it was slower, but it just seemed more peaceful to me. Did he slow down, in your opinion?
You know, I never really followed that. I couldn't tell you honestly about that, but I was a fan of his, but he was not someone that I would listen to a lot. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really tell you that, but I think I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes, what was the thing that Jim Hall said? They asked him, how do you play such great solos? And he said, I just try and get out of the way. and I think that you get to a point where you have to trust the feeling that's inside.
Right.
You know, the late B.B. King, that man said more with two notes than a lot of people say with 30 notes.
Right.
And it's how you say it. And again, I think it all comes back to being honest,
right,
and to where you are now. Maybe with Les Paul, he heard all that stuff when he was younger.
Right.
And he said, oh man, I can hear this. He could sing it. So he played it.
Right.
And maybe when he got older, he said, I'm hearing this now. So I'm going to play this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how it happened.
I guess. And I fell into the trap. I like talking to you so much about this stuff. I haven't asked you about Doug. Please, Doug, what do you have coming up? What's you say you're heading out again in a few days.
Yeah, there's a lot coming up, Carl. I'm going to be going up to Pacific Northwest here. Going to do a festival with the Blind Boys of Alabama and Charlie Musselwhite.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do that, and then I come back, and then I go out to Texas and the Midwest. Then I'm home, and then I fly up to Calgary, do the Engineered Arts Theater there, and then from Calgary, I fly over to Europe to do a European tour. Come back a couple of weeks off, and then me and my wife, and we're going down to Belize to do a thing with Phil Wiggins, 5 days down in Belize, and then there's some other things that are pending that, you know, it looks like I'm going to be working for a while. So, you know, things are good.
You're going to be able to pay the rent, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to pay the rent.
That makes one of us, I guess.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Doug, as usual, for the second time, it's an absolute pleasure talking to you. It's a lot of fun.
And the feeling's mutual, Carl. It's like we're sitting down now, maybe on your porch at home, and just having a visit instead of talking like a phone interview thing. You know,
yeah,
I like that.
Whenever I get off the phone, I feel guilty because we don't talk, you know, we talk mostly about this guitar player, that guitar player, but, you know, you sound like you enjoy it too, so I don't feel that guilty.
Well, the way I see it is you're just going to have to call me again, Carl, so we can talk about me.
All right, well, I'll get my Skype stuff straightened out and maybe.
Yeah, man.
So for the last thing, please again, Doug, say where folks can find your music and if they can go and get it there.
Okay. It's at my website, of course, which is www.doug-mcleod. And you spell McLeod, MacLeod.com. Also, Amazon, iTunes, eMusic. That's where you can get it all. I mean, you can find it. As long as you spell my name right.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't nowadays, even if you don't spell my name right, you're going to find me. So.
Right, right. Okay, well, again, thanks very much, Doug, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Carl.
Going forward with all those shows and festivals. And this is Carl Wanchenk for the Daily Music Break at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear some great music and to sign up for free email newsletters. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Gotta pay. I get it for free. Yeah.
Rosalie.
Oh, thank you, thank you.